Thank you, Father, for everything. We give you praise and give you glory, the gift of our Lord Jesus Christ to this world. Acknowledged this day by the whole world. Hallelujah. No one like him in all of history. And we give you praise and give you glory, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. May the joy of Christmas, the joy of the season, even as the angels declared on earth, peace and goodwill toward men. May that joy be with everyone as we give glory to God, even today, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, I want to read you a little Christmas story of sorts this morning. So let's read it. Today is Christmas Day, you know, and in the book of Luke, chapter 2, I'm going to read from verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Praise the Lord. That's shepherds in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Now, this is one reason why people said, well, Christ could not have been born on Christmas Day. You know, because at this time, back, you know, in Bethlehem, wherever, it's very cold at this time of the year. There'll be snow. They could not be out with their flocks in the night. Well, whatever. That's my response to that. Whether it was, we know he was not born on December 25. We know that. But it is a day that was picked. And we give God the praise and the glory that the whole world acknowledges the birth of Christ. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. That's right. That's why there's always joy at this time. You know, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Doesn't matter who you are, white, black, green, yellow, Greek, Jew, whatever. All people, I bring you good tidings of great joy. And I echo the same today. For unto you is born this day, you know, and this is the day that has been chosen to celebrate it, so we thank God for that. Unto you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, well, let's hear the announcement of the angels. And what did they say? Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And I often maintain, if you can do it in this order, then it's all good. First, you give glory to God in the highest. And then, of course, peace and goodwill to all men. So this is the part that people focus on mostly. The goodwill toward men, which is the sharing of gifts. But they forget, you know, the glory to God in the highest first. So today, we want to give God glory in the highest. And we also want to proclaim peace. Peace toward men. But you can't have peace without the Prince of Peace. But it's all right if you want to share the goodwill toward all men. Share the goodwill with your families. Well, why not? Praise God. But first, let's make sure we give the glory to God in the highest. Praise God. Now, what was so significant about this baby that even the angels would announcing and be singing and be proclaiming. Well, you know, well, let's talk about it. Let's talk about Jesus, the Prince of Peace, is he? There's a song like that. Let's talk about Jesus, the Prince of Peace, is he? The Lord of Lords Supreme, throughout
eternity.
The great
I am,
the way,
the truth, the life, the door.
Let's talk about Jesus more and more. Hallelujah. So let's talk about Jesus today. And I want to show you why this Jesus is so important. You know, all the Old Testament prophecies that are in the Bible about Christ, how they are fulfilled in Jesus. Praise the Lord, you know. There's so many, I don't know if I can cover it all, but, you know, it is Christmas Day after all. So let's talk about Jesus. You know, the world is celebrating what they know not, you know, but we are thankful, you know, that this day was instituted. Nevertheless, the way that people do it may be wrong, but hey, you know, let's do it the right way. Praise God. You know, the, over time, this so-called Christmas celebration has been mixed up with so much stuff that even has nothing to do with Christmas, you know. But so what? You know, we know the truth. I mean, you know, like I say to people, I say, well, are you going to say that, you know, Sunday should not be the day that we should worship the Lord? I mean, we should really worship God every day. Why do we go to church on Sundays? Well, it's a day, you know, some people say, yeah, you know, they started it, they moved it to that day because it was the worship of the sun god. You know, okay, so because of that, we should not go to church anymore on Sundays? Come on now, you know. And people say, well, you know, you shouldn't celebrate Christmas because people don't know how to do it. Does that mean we shouldn't do it? Come on now. You know, as many, I can put forth many arguments, you know, why, you know, we should celebrate the Lord on the day and every day. Praise God. And, you know, whatever day it was, remember the scripture says, let every man be fully persuaded in their mind. You know, in the book of Romans, it talks about that. You know, be fully persuaded in your mind. You may want to celebrate the day. You may want to make all days alike. It's all right. Whatever you want to do, it's fine. You know, one person observeth the day, another does not observe it. Well, to the one that observes it, to the Lord he observes it. And the one that doesn't observe it, well, to the Lord he does not observe it. You can read that in the book of Romans, you know, chapter 14 and verse 6. You know, praise God. Even if we even started earlier in verse 5, one man estimate one day above another, another estimate every day alike. Well, let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regarded the day, regarded it unto the Lord. And he that regarded not the day, to the Lord he doth not regard it. You know, so, and again, you know, whether you celebrate or don't celebrate, you know, scripture tells us, don't let anybody, you know, judge you in these things. You know, whether it is a new moon or new Sabbath or Christmas, you know, or so forth. Doesn't matter. You know, Colossians chapter 2 and verse 16. Let no man therefore judge you, whether you eat or drink or respect of an holy day such as this, you know. On the new moon or Sabbath days, these are all a shadow of things. You know, if you want to do it, fine. If you don't, great. You know, but, you know, I do. So I want to celebrate the Christ today. Praise the Lord. And in the scriptures, right from Genesis, clear on to the book of Revelation, it's all about the Christ. You know, it's all, you can find something about Christ in just about every book of that Bible. But I want to bring out some specific Old Testament prophecies about Christ, the Messiah, you know, and how they were fulfilled in Christ. I mean, in Jesus, praise the Lord. You know, the greatest benefit of the Lord coming, you know, to the earth, we're going to find that in Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 8. This is where I will start before I read all the other prophecies. This is a declaration when heaven meets earth. In whom did heaven and earth meet? That was in Christ. You know, Christ is the one where in whom heaven, there's a conjunction of heaven and earth. And it happens inside Christ. You can't get it any other place. You know, because Jesus, you know, he was standing on the earth in John chapter 3 and verse 13. Was standing right there on the earth talking to Nicodemus and saying, you know, that the Son of Man is in heaven. That's the conjunction of heaven and earth meeting together in Christ. No man has ascended up to heaven, Jesus declared, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, standing right here talking to you, and he said, which is in heaven. So, you know, that's the mystery of the Christ, standing right there, talking to Nicodemus, and saying the Son of Man is in heaven. So you can see where heaven and earth meet in Christ. Hallelujah. Now, let me read it to you in the book of, this is the greatest thing that we must get out of heaven and earth meeting in Christ. Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 8. This is how the Lord, this is what was in the Lord's mind, by the way, for this. This must be the case. Drop down, ye heavens, from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open up. Let them bring forth salvation. Hallelujah. Why they call his name Jesus? Because he shall save the people from their sins. Glory to God. Let the earth bring forth salvation. Let righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it. Glory to God. This is heaven meeting the earth. All inside of Christ. The heavens drop down. The earth open up. It's all in one man. Standing right there. Saying the Son of Man. Both on the earth and in heaven. At the same time. Go figure. In him is salvation. Hallelujah. And God declared again that look. This salvation. That was thought. Of by people as belonging only to the Jews, when Jesus himself said it. Salvation is of the Jews, because he was quoting that. You know, the Lord, here's what the Lord has to say about that. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let me read it to you from Isaiah chapter 49 and verse 6. It is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob alone. And to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles. So in Christ, God already knew it was going to happen. Going to bring them together. That thou mayest be my salvation. Unto the end of the earth. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thus saith the Lord. The Redeemer of Israel. And his Holy One. And to whom man despiseth, you know, and they despise him, whom the nation abhorreth, you know, and all this. Well, what is the one, whom is the one the Lord shall choose? Who is the Holy One of Israel and he that God has chosen? Well, it is Christ. Christ is the one that was chosen. Kings shall arise and see him. Priests shall also worship him. Hallelujah. Because of the Lord that is faithful. And he's the Holy One of Israel. Not three, but one. the Holy One of Israel, and he shall choose thee, the Christ. And God chose him and said, in you shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, as it is today. And if any man will receive him, he will give them the authority and the right to become the sons of God. That's why we rave about him. That's why we're so excited about him. But look at all the things that the Bible says about him. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. The seed of the woman would bruise the head of the serpent. Well, that's a prophecy. And I'm talking about some prophecies that are fulfilled in Christ. Now, how did he do it? Well, you know, let's take a look at a couple of places, you know, how he did it. Remember, he must bruise the head of the serpent. He's got to do it because that's the prophecy that was given about him. Praise the Lord. Well, first of all, we established that he is the seed. Hallelujah. We established that in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 16. To Abraham and his seed were the promises made. And he said not to thy seeds as of many, but as of one, to thy seed, which is Christ. So first of all, we established that Christ was that seed. Praise the Lord. And this reason it was called the seed of the woman, because you know the story in the book of Luke. The angel came to Mary and said, you know, you have been chosen. The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Almighty shall overshadow you. Therefore, that holy thing that shall be born of you shall be called the Son of the Highest. Well, you got to call him the son of somebody, but whose son is he going to be? Can't call him the son of Joseph, you know. So whose son is going to be? The Son of the Highest. But it was the seed of the woman, because there was no man involved in that. So we established that right there. And in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8, did he bruise the head of the devil or not? Well, let's read it. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8. John clearly declared that Jesus did this. Hallelujah. He said, well, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for this devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose, hallelujah, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. And he did it too. Praise the Lord. And not only did he do it at the cross, he continues to do it every day, even through us. You know, in Luke 10 and 19, I give you power, you know, to tread upon serpents and scorpions. Hallelujah. So he gave us that power. And we, in by the grace of God, Christ is still doing it in us and through us every day. Praise the Lord. He will continue to do it. And every day when we have victory over the devil, well, that's Christ, you know, bruising his head again. In the book of Romans chapter 16 and verse 20, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet. Woo-hoo! Glory to God. Doing Christ in us. Still doing the bruising. You know, he bruised his head on the cross, destroyed his works, and he's still doing it even till today. So that prophecy, point blank, was fulfilled in Christ. You know, what about Genesis chapter 12 and verse 3? And also Genesis 22 and 18. All nations will be blessed through Abraham's seed. Well, we just read about it, that that seed is Christ. Galatians 3 and 16. But let's read also in the book of Acts chapter 3. And let's see what the Bible says about the Christ in reference to this prophecy. Praise the Lord. Acts chapter 3, you know, and verse 25. It says that you know, ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant with God made with our father, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. You know, so, and that seed we know was Christ. So again, Christ fulfilling that incredible prophecy. What about Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 5? What about that? Well, it says that in Christ, all the families in heaven, anywhere else actually, are blessed and named by his name. For this cause, he said, from verse 14, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth, you know, wherever the God is named, they all come together in Christ. They are named by Christ. Your surname is Christ. That's right. You know, they are named by the name of Christ. The whole family, heaven and earth, hallelujah, named after Christ. Praise God. That's the fulfillment right there. Nobody else can lay claim to that. In the book of Genesis, chapter 18, verses 19 and 21, it talks about an everlasting covenant that he will make in Isaac. Well, there can be nothing that is everlasting about Isaac, really, because, you know, Isaac is both dead and buried. You know, there's a scripture that says, you know, that will not leave my soul in hell, you know, so far that I only want to see corruption. I was talking about it in the book of Psalms. And he said, well, let me tell you freely about, you know, David, who wrote that psalm. He's dead and buried. But he was not talking about himself, talking about Christ. Well, some of these things also, Genesis 18, it's talking about the promise in Isaac. We're told later in the book of Galatians, we've already read that, that we see that it really transferred to Christ. You know, that's the only place that you could make that to be everlasting. Praise God. And it was a promise, and it was a blessing that he put upon the Christ. And in that, prophecy, as you see that the Lord was the one that could bring it to happen, well, he came in Christ, and it's an everlasting covenant. God would never erase it because, you know, Christ abides forever. Praise God. In the book of Romans, chapter 9 and verse 7, we see the fulfillment of that very prophecy. Everything that God promised Abraham, Isaac, Jacob to last forever, well, he transferred to the Christ, is what we are told. And that's how it lasts forever. Praise the Lord. In Christ, because Christ, you know, has an unchangeable priesthood, because he lives forever. You can't, you know, it's there. You can't take away his life anymore. Forever. He lives and, you know, sits on the right hand of God. And that promise will be fulfilled in him throughout all generations. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I want you to know that in Christ, this is the person that we are celebrating today. In Christ is the fulfillment of the promises that were made to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob forever, all fulfilled in Christ. Praise God. Now, when Isaac was in the life of Isaac, let's read something about Isaac being his seed and who his children will be called and so forth. You know, in the book of Romans chapter 9, it talks about, you know, the children that were called, the Isaac. He said, in Isaac shall your seed be called. Now, that is they which are the children of the flesh. He said, these are not the children of God. We've been talking about the children of the promise, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. And this promise comes to us through Christ. This is the word of promise at this time. Like, come and Sarah shall have a son. You know, and eventually trickle down to the Christ. A lot of things in Abraham's lineage, you know, all the families of the earth blessed in Christ, and so on and so forth. You know, even in the genealogy that that Luke gave of Christ in Luke chapter 3, showing how that Jacob was in Christ's genealogy, and all the blessings will come like that. You know, in Genesis 28 and 18, he passed it on to Abraham. I mean, from Abraham, he had been passed on to Isaac. He passed it on to Jacob as well. You know, he said, in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. He'd been saying it and repeating it to Abraham, to Isaac, and now to Jacob. And this would be fulfilled in the Christ. We see that in the genealogy of Luke, when he began to trace the genealogy of Christ backwards, we got to verse 34. You know, and we see that in verse 34 of Luke 3, Jacob is in Jesus' lineage. So we see how Jesus and that prophecy is connected. The lawgiver and the scepter shall come from Judah. Genesis chapter 49 and verse 10. Well, Judah also is mentioned in Jesus' genealogy right there in the book of Luke. Chapter 3 talks about Judah. You know, I think it might have been verse 33 or so. Judah is mentioned also in the genealogy of the Christ. And when Judah came, you know, Judah was the son of Jacob, right? Jacob was the son of Isaac. Isaac was the son of Abraham. And Abraham was the son of Terah. That's how he was, you know, rolling it backwards. And Christ eventually came through that lineage. And so that prophecy in Isaiah, Genesis 49 and 10, that says the scepter and the lawgiver shall be from Judah. Well, we see that that prophecy was fulfilled in Christ, because Christ is the lawgiver. Hallelujah. He's the governor. How do we know he's the governor? Well, in the Micah chapter 5 verse 2, he says, but thou, O Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be the smallest among the cities of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth one that is going to be the lawgiver or the governor. That's who lawgiver is. Among my people, over my people. And that was Christ, whose goings forth have been from of old and from everlasting. So in the book of Genesis 49, you know, when Jacob gave this prophecy concerning his children, what he said for about Judah is the lawgiver and the scepter will come from Judah. Well, he did. We see that Christ fulfilled that by coming out of that lineage. What more shall we say? You know, in the book of Numbers, chapter 24, verse 17, he's called the Star of Jacob. You know, this is the story of Balaam and Balaam in his prophecy and so on. He called him the star of Jacob. Well, Jesus again, he fulfilled that by being, you know, in that lineage. Also, Revelation 22 and verse 16. Hallelujah. Jesus calls himself, you know, the bright and the morning star and many other things. He even explained the fact that he came before David and he also came after David. Praise the Lord. So that's why we call him the root and the offspring of David. One time Jesus asked him, why do the scribes call Christ the son of David? If David himself calls him Lord by saying, you know, the Lord said to my Lord, sit down at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Well, they couldn't answer it, so he didn't answer it for them. He just left it. But we know he was the son of David, but also he was before David. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus says, I, Jesus, Revelation 22, 16, have sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. Hallelujah. I am the root. So that he came before David. And I am the offspring of David. He came after David. And I am the bright and the morning star. That's the star of Jacob right there, according to Numbers 24 and verse 17. Praise the Lord. What about Psalm 40, verses 6 to 8? Christ was even foretold. He was told in the volume of the book. He said, in the volume of the book, it is written of me. I come to do thy will, O God. A body that was prepared for me. Hebrews chapter 10 will give it to us and relate it back to Christ. In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 5 to 10, we read, you know, this whole book of Hebrews was talking about Christ, either comparing Christ to angels or comparing Moses to Christ or comparing the high priest at that time to Christ's own priesthood or comparing the old covenant to the New Testament in Christ. I mean, that's what the book of Hebrews, you know, the first few, first 10 or so chapters were all about. And here is quoting that very prophecy in the book of Psalms 40. He quotes it and relates it to Christ. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering, thou wouldest not. But a body hast thou prepared for me. And he said, lo, I come in the volume of the book is written of me to do thy will, O God. Did he not say that himself, Jesus, in the book of John, chapter 3 and verse 34? Did he not say, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work? So you see how all of these prophecies are fulfilled in Christ. John 3, 34, my meat is to do thy will. Hallelujah. And to finish the work. That was the purpose of the Christ. And he most certainly finished it too. Praise the Lord. Now, what about Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, which relates point blank to today's celebration in the world? A virgin shall conceive. Praise the Lord. And bring forth, you know, a man child. And you call his name Emmanuel, meaning God is with us. Well, that was a prophecy given at the time concerning something that was yet future. And that prophecy, of course, was fulfilled in Christ. In the book of Luke, chapter 1, verse 35, we see the story of the angel Gabriel, you know, going to Mary and making the announcement that you have found favor with God, and the Holy Ghost is coming upon you. And she was saying, well, I can't. How can I be pregnant? And I don't know a man. Well, she was still a virgin, never met a man, but that prophecy was fulfilled right there in Mary and the Christ. We see that, you know, she was chosen, which is good, but the seed that she brought forth was called Jesus, as we see it, because he told him, you know, that holy thing that will be born of you will be called the Son of God. And that virgin was Mary. And that child, called Emmanuel in the Old Testament, which means God with us. That's right. That's the very God that came with us. John chapter 1, verses 1 and 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh. Hallelujah. And dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father. And the moment that Mary believed that word, it became flesh in her. She became pregnant right there, because she said, be it unto me according to thy word. And so we see Christ fulfilling that prophecy about the birth of someone unique that will be of a virgin and who will be God with us. Prophesied way back. And yet he did it. And he fulfilled it. And we're celebrating it in the world today. In the book of Isaiah, you know, chapter 8 and verse 14. You know, he will be called a stone of stumbling. A stone of stumbling, he said, you know. Well, what does that mean? You know, a stone of stumbling, in a rock of offense, both the houses of Israel and Egypt, and a snare to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem. You know, it was a prophecy about Christ. And how was it fulfilled? Well, you know, in 1 Peter chapter 2, you know, verses 7 to 8, we see that, you know, Christ is that stone. Even the prophecy was given, and then, you know, he said that this child is set for the rising and falling of many, even in Israel, and a sword shall pierce through thy heart also. The prophecy when Christ came into the, when they brought him into the temple for to dedicate him. And, you know, this, prophet took him up, you know, and began to say these things about him. He was quoting this very verse that we just read in Isaiah, you know, chapter 8. Simeon, you can read it in Luke chapter 2. He took the child from Mary and he said, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel. It'll be a sign to be spoken against, you know. A sword will pass through your own heart also, you know. The thoughts of the many hearts will be revealed. And he was quoting this prophecy in Isaiah 8 and 14 that says, it will be a stone of stumbling, you know, fall and rise of many. Right there, point blank. Simeon quoted the same thing while he beheld and held up the child in his hand. And 1 Peter chapter 2, we talk about, called Christ also, you know, refer to him as a stone. Praise God. You know, even Acts calls him the stone which the builders rejected. You know, Acts chapter 4:11. This is the stone which the builders rejected. And same thing in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 7. Unto you therefore, he said, which believe is precious, but unto them which be disobedient. So it will be precious to some, and it will be a stumbling to others. The stone which the builders rejected, the saints become the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word. You know, and so forth. So, fulfilling that prophecy in Isaiah 8 and 14. What about Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2? This Christ would be one that will give light to those that sit in darkness. Glory to God. He will be light to those that sit in darkness. In the same Luke chapter 2 that we were just reading, you can read in verse 29 how that this prophecy again was proclaimed, you know, upon the Christ. When this Simeon took him up and began to say, "Now, Lord, lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for my eyes have seen thy salvation," hallelujah, "which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." A light to lighten and the glory, you know, and also he brought that Isaiah 49 verse 6, he brought it all together right here. He said, look, it's the small thing for you to only be for Israel. I'll be, make you also for the Gentiles. And Simeon took the child and made this prophecy on him. Praise the Lord. And, you know, it was also the fulfillment of what was already prophesied. And these things were shown in the life of Christ that we may know who Christ is. Praise the Lord. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 9 and verse 6, you know, he's to come as a child and later on will be presented, you know, in his ministry, but not until he was grown into a man. And he will be one with the Father. He will also be the Prince of Peace. I mean, all these things were said about him before he came. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. That means presented, you know. And what will happen to him? Well, he will be called many things. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. He will be the Mighty God. He will be one with God. He will even be the Everlasting Father. This same child that is the Prince, he will also be the Father. That's a mystery right there. You know, did Christ fulfill all of these things? Well, absolutely. We're talking about his birth today. We know that, you know. And when he was born, we know that in the book of Matthew chapter 3, he came to John to be baptized. And we see his presentation. But his presentation did not happen until he was a grown man. You know, so born as a child, presented when he was grown. Unto us a child is born. And unto us a son is given or presented. When you give a gift, you present it to somebody. You know, and the Lord, the voice from heaven came. When he stepped out of that water, boy, the heavens opened up, the voice came, and the presentation was made. "This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased." Now, he fulfilled that prophecy to the T, you know, Isaiah chapter 9. And what about the other things he said about him? That he will be the Prince of Peace. Well, is Christ the Prince of Peace? Did he say that about himself? Well, absolutely. In fact, you know, Jesus said, "My peace," John chapter 14 and verse 27, "I give unto you, not as the world giveth." You know, so he called himself peace, the real peace. He said, "You can't find peace in the world. You can only find it in me," John 14 and 27. What about his oneness with the Father? Because he's also called the Everlasting Father in Isaiah chapter 9:6. What did that fulfill in Christ? Oh, absolutely. In John chapter 10 and verse 30, Jesus said, "I and my Father are one." The Prince of Peace and the Everlasting Father come together as one. Glory to God. Heaven and earth in one in Christ. Praise God. God in heaven, Christ on the earth, one in Jesus. Amen. Woohoo. And Jesus said in John chapter 8, verses 56 to 58, he opened up and told them that, look, you know, your father Abraham, that you claim to be your father, well, he rejoiced to see my day. And when he saw it, he was glad. And he said, You're not even 50 years old. You're just around 30. And you, how could you possibly have seen Abraham? Glory to God. And Jesus said, you know, before Abraham was, I am. And he used the same phrase, I am that I am, right there, you know, of which they took up stones to kill him because he's making himself God. Well, Abraham did actually see his day. You know, we're told in the book of Genesis chapter 14, Abraham met this mysterious figure called Melchizedek, who brought wine and bread, you know, the first communion right there between Abraham and Melchizedek. And we don't know who this Melchizedek was. We never knew who he was for a long time until in the book of Hebrews chapter 7, we were told who he was. He was just a shadowy, mysterious figure. Nobody knew who he was. You know, but in Hebrews chapter 7, he said, for this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth. See, that's where tithing started, by revelation. See, Abraham gave it. There was no commandment then. You know, so tithing, I maintain, is by revelation. Because this is the first mention. The law of first mentions. The first time that breaking of bread was done, it was a priest that brought it, you know, and it was between two people, never one person, you know, and then he did it. And Abraham, I mean, Melchizedek was representing the Godhead. Abraham was representing, you know, the seed, I mean, the chosen. And he did it right there. And here we see that Abraham gave him a tithe. There was no commandment at that time, you know, to do tithing. It was by revelation. And he's called by interpretation a king of righteousness. And after that, he's the king of Salem, which is the king of peace. Well, not only is he prince, but he's also the king of priests. That's the meaning of his name. He's without father, this Melchizedek. He's without mother. Well, we only know of one other person, you know, in the human lineage, that was Adam and perhaps Eve, who were without father and mother. After that, everybody was born of somebody. Even Christ was born of Mary, you know, and his father was God, the Holy Ghost, you know. And then he said, you know, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of this, talking about Melchizedek, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like the Son of God, abided a priest forever. This Melchizedek was a type of the coming Christ. It was actually Christ that appeared to Abraham, you know, because he said, Abraham saw me, and he was glad. He said, and what? Could he have seen you? Well, before Abraham was, I am. Self-existent, without father, without mother, without descent. Having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but abided like the Son of God. That's Christ right there in Melchizedek. It was fulfilled. He saw it, you know. And so Jesus fulfilled Isaiah 9:6 to the T because of all these things that he was. What about Isaiah 61:1-3? Well, before I read that one, what about Isaiah 11:1-4? The spirit of knowledge and the spirit of wisdom shall be on Christ. Well, was it? In the book of Luke chapter 2, we see that when he was a child, 12 years old, they went somewhere. And when they left, he stayed behind. And after 3 days, they found him, you know, debating with the lawyers, the philosophers and so forth, you know. And they said, wow. And there was a conversation between him and Mary. And he told her, well, I got to be about my father's business, you know, and so forth. But here's what he said in Luke chapter 2 and verse 47. After all of that, you know, he said, you know, after they found him and so forth, then he returned, you know. Bible says he returned with them and so forth. But look at the knowledge that was upon him. It came to pass after 3 days that they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all of them were astonished at his understanding. Well, that's it right there. Spirit of understanding. The spirit of the quickness in the knowledge of and the fear of the Lord will be upon him. Prophesied in Isaiah 11, fulfilled in Christ, right here. The boy Jesus, even at that age, he had it already. The fulfillment. So when you think of this baby that was born on this so-called Christmas day, well, think of many things. Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 to 3, prophesied about him. You know, he said, the anointing of the Lord is upon me to bring salvation and deliverance. Well, did he do it? Well, let's see. In the book of Luke chapter 4, Jesus comes out of the wilderness, being tempted of the devil and so forth. He goes to the synagogue. He picks up the book of Isaiah. They delivered it to him to read. He found this place where it was written. And in Luke chapter 4, verses 16 to 21, he quotes exactly Isaiah 61. And he said, this day is the scripture fulfilled in your eyes. So there is no question about it. Point blank, he fulfilled it. Because he said, the spirit of the Lord is upon me. He said, well, he found the place where it was written. In the book of Isaiah, the spirit of the Lord is upon me. I have now sent me to preach the gospel to the poor. Sent me to bring healing to the brokenhearted, deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, set at liberty them that are bruised, preach the acceptable year of the Lord. All these things. Quoting the writer of the book of Isaiah 61. You know, and he closed the book, gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all were fastened upon him. And he said, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. So point blank, he fulfilled that prophecy. I mean, how many people can you point to that fulfill so many prophecies in the Bible like this man? You know, in the book of Hosea, chapter 11, verse 1, there's a dual prophetic thing here. Hosea is giving a prophecy here in Hosea chapter 11. He says, well, out of Egypt have I called my son. Well, it looked like he was saying something that actually happened, because we know that before then, God had called the children of Israel out of Egypt. You know the story of the Exodus, right? But there was also a prophecy. This thing had dual fulfillment. So read first Hosea chapter 11 and read. Say, when Israel was a child, I loved him. I called him out of Egypt. Well, that actually did happen. You know, so at this point in time, when you're reading this Hosea, right, you would not have known that it was also prophetic, because he was just saying something that had happened. When Israel was in Egypt for many years, 400 years and so on, eventually God called them out of there. So this thing that he was saying, you know, looked like he was just reporting something that had happened. But let's go to Matthew chapter 2. And then see how, you know, we now find out that, wow, that was actually prophetic. Because, you know, during the birth time of Christ, you might know this story, you know, after that, the, you know, some folks came to say, oh, you know, we found, you know, the, you know, somebody who's going to be the Christ because we saw his star and so on. And then Herod, when he called all the people, you know, the wise men, you know, I mean, after the wise men told him that, he called the scribes and everything. He told them they should go and search, you know, and find where Christ should be born. And they told him right away, you know, the scriptures have said, you know, that, you know, thou Bethlehem, though thou be the least among the princes of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth the governor. They were quoting Micah chapter 5, verse 2. So they said, he's got to be in Bethlehem. We know that's where, because that's what the scripture says. Okay. So Jesus, again, he fulfilled that because he was born in Bethlehem. So Herod, you know, wanted to kill everybody. You might know that story. And, you know, because he didn't want, you know, because that's treason. There cannot be any other king other than Caesar. You know, that's what they do in those kingdoms. You know, you can't, there's only one king and another king would rise. What's that? I got to kill them all, because Herod was under Caesar. And there cannot be any other allegiance to anybody. They want to kill everybody that could be called king. And, you know, so you might know the story. God appeared to Joseph in a dream. Take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt. And be thou there until I bring you word again. You can read that in Matthew chapter 2, verse 13. Because there are those that seek, say, Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. So the Lord by dream warned Joseph, and he took the child and his mother by night, and he departed into Egypt. And he was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled. That which was spoken by the Lord of the prophet, out of Egypt have I called my son. We didn't know it was prophecy at the time. We thought it was just referring to the story of Israel that came out of Egypt. But right here we see that it's now called a prophecy. And Christ fulfilled it by going to Egypt so that God can bring him out of Egypt in order to fulfill that prophecy. Hallelujah. This was the life of Christ. So many things he did so that he could fulfill the scriptures even while he was still on the cross. The issue about vinegar and all of that was so that he could fulfill something, you know. So let me see if I can go through the rest of it quickly. Now, Micah chapter 5 verse 2, I already told you. This is how Christ will be born in Bethlehem. That's what we're celebrating today. He will be born in Bethlehem. He will be governor. He'll be the ruler of God's people. And he has been of old. Well, Matthew chapter 2 verses 1 to 6, they made a search and they found out that that's the case. That's where he will be born. So it was fulfilled of Christ. He was indeed born in Bethlehem. Could have been born anywhere else, but in order that that scripture might be fulfilled, you know, there was a taxation, you know, called for at that time, and a census, you know, and everybody had to go back to their cities. And so Joseph, also being of the lineage of the house of David, he went back to his own city, Bethlehem. And that's how Christ ended up being born in Bethlehem, you know, so because that scripture needed to be fulfilled. Hallelujah. So, the same way that Christ fulfilled everything else. Well, let's read Jeremiah chapter 23. Hallelujah. Verses 5 and 6. In this book of Jeremiah, and like I said before, you know, there are so many things about Christ throughout all the books of the Bible. You're going to find one thing or the other about him. If you read it carefully, Jeremiah 23 verse 5. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch. Now that branch is a capital B. So we know who he's talking about. And a king shall reign and prosper and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days, Judah shall be saved. So he'll be a savior. You know, Israel shall dwell safely and his name shall be called the Lord, our righteousness. Woo-hoo! You know, that's it. That's the Lord right there, the prophecy. Well, did he fulfill that or not? I mean, did Jesus come to be a savior or not? Was he also an offspring or a branch of David or not? Well, Luke chapter 1, verses 30 to 33. Let's read, you know, again, part of the story of Christmas is Luke chapter 1. And that's why we're telling these things about the Christ. So we know what we're really doing. The angel said to Mary, fear not, for Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son. Ha! Glory to God. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Well, why is he called Jesus? Because he will save his people, you know, from sin. Now, he shall be great, shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord will give to him the throne of his father, David. A branch shall come out of David, he said, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Same thing in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, you know. Upon the throne of David, to order it and to sit upon it, you know, forever and ever, he said. And it says, kingdom shall be no end. And that prophecy in Isaiah and in Jeremiah, both of them are being fulfilled by the statement of this angel to Mary right here. Praise God. And Jesus himself, Revelation 22, 16, we read that already. He said, I am the root and offspring, branch of David. fulfilled to a T. That's Christ for you. Fulfilled all these things. In the book of Malachi chapter 3 verse 2, he is called the messenger of the covenant or the messenger of the promise. You know, so what promise? Well, there's a promise of redemption. There's a promise of salvation. He shall save his people from their sins. There are many promises. There's a promise also of the Holy Ghost. You know, Jesus talked to his disciples. He said, look, you know, tarry ye in Jerusalem, Luke chapter 24 and verse 49, you know, until you receive power from above, the promise of the Father that you have heard me talk to you about. I will send you the Comforter. It was a promise. I will send you, you know, the Holy Spirit will be in you, you know, and he will teach you all these things, guide you into all truth and so on. He called him the promise. Luke 24, 49. Also in Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, you see how Jesus is the messenger of the covenant. And what was the covenant? Well, he came to announce the kingdom. You know, from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You know, very, very similar to, you know, even some of the things that John the Baptist came talking about, preparing the way of the Lord, making his path straight. But Jesus also came saying, well, repent. And, you know, because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He's announcing something. It's a messenger, you know, that's announcing what's coming. It was announcing that the kingdom of heaven was coming, you know, at the time. In Luke chapter 4, verse 43. I mean, there's so much, you know, about Christ and the fulfillment. I mean, he being the covenant messenger. So much about him. There was one time, you know, that Jesus was doing all kinds of miracles. You know, in Luke chapter 4, you know, verse 43. When he was there, he departed into a desert place, and they sought him and came unto him and tried to make him to stay there, and that he should not depart from them. But look at the answer of Jesus. Jesus said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities, for there I am, therefore am I sent. You know, so it was a messenger, you know, of this good news of the kingdom that was coming. And of course, he really was a messenger. And in all of his speeches, we saw yesterday how Jesus, as the perfect ambassador, always said that he could only do what the Father who sent him asked him to do. When we were talking about the anatomy of the children of promise, they would be just like that. We covered that yesterday. So Jesus fulfilled this prophecy about being the messenger of good news and things to come. In the book of Luke chapter 12, verse 32, Jesus promises, you know, or reveals the promise that the Father would give us the kingdom. You know, the covenant in the case of Jesus was actually to restore the covenant, the kingdom. It was more important than anything else. He was so consumed about it. You know, Luke chapter 12, verse 32. Fear not, little flock. The Father's king, you know, good news. I mean, good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Jesus was always announcing this as something that was coming, but telling of it made him a messenger. In the book of Luke chapter 22, and verse 29, he would declare this unto the people. Behold, I appoint you, hallelujah, a kingdom. You know, this was the purpose of Christ as a messenger, to bring understanding about that kingdom. Because people didn't know it at the time, but he was bringing it. I appoint unto you a kingdom, even as my Father has appointed me. Glory to God. That you may eat and drink a table in my kingdom. And sit upon thrones and so on. I mean, Jesus, covenant messenger. And the covenant that he was, did it way back to the beginning. Our God said, have dominion. Well, he was lost. So Jesus came and he was about showing us how it's coming back. I'm going to bring you back the kingdom that God intended in the first place, which you lost. It was a messenger to declare that. Nobody understood how it would come. But Jesus began to declare it. And it will be that centerpiece that will bring heaven and earth together right there in Christ. So Christ fulfilled that to the letter. I mean, all of his preachings of Christ, trying to show you that all the kingdom messages that Jesus was preaching, you know, that was the covenant information that Jesus was bringing us about the kingdom, you know, that he wanted to, as you know, reestablish. You know, God even told Abraham, you know, I'll give you all these things, you know, any place that your feet tread upon, I'll give it to you. Come out here, he said, from, you know, look from the place where you are. See, I'll give you all these things. Well, Christ got it all before even that. The book of Revelation chapter 5 shows us Christ stepping up to the one that sits on the throne and taking the book, and only he was found worthy to do it. Now, Matthew chapter 13, Matthew chapter 20, Matthew chapter 25, Mark chapter 4 and Luke chapter 19. Parables of the kingdom. The purpose of Jesus being a messenger of the kingdom, called messenger of the covenant here, but that's really what he came to do. You know, introduce something. That's what the messenger does. You know, and he was introducing that kingdom, and he did it like nobody else. Let me cover a few more things quickly here. In the book of Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9, the coming king will ride into Jerusalem on a colt. Well, you know, if you never thought that Jesus fulfilled it, he did it point blank. So let's read it in the book of Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He's just having salvation lowly and riding upon an ass and upon the colt or the foal of an ass. Well, that prophecy was given, and Jesus, he made sure that it happened. In the book of Matthew chapter 21, we see that Jesus would send his disciples to do something so that that very prophecy might be fulfilled. Hallelujah. You know, so, in the place where, you know, I lost my place here. Where am I? Okay. Matthew 21 is where I am. In the place where, you know, in the book of Matthew 21, we see that Jesus, comes into the, a different book here, but where am I? Ah, there we go. All right. And, you know, Jesus comes, and people are saying, Hosanna, the son of David, and all of these things. You know, they were calling out Hosanna. You know, Hosanna, the king. You know, Jesus is called Hosanna. I mean, they're saying Hosanna, and he's called the son of David. Blessed is the one that comes, you know, in the name of the Lord. You know, and he comes and rides, you know, into the city, on a donkey, just like the scriptures have said. And let's check it out, you know, in the book of, Matthew chapter 21, and also in the book of, John chapter 12. You know, John chapter 12, you know, says, in verses 14 to 16, yeah, that's the one I was looking for. John chapter 12, verses 14 to 16, we read this story. Yeah. And it said, he found a young ass and sat on it, as it is written, fear not, daughter of Zion. You know? And, the king cometh sitting on an ass's coat, quoting exactly Zechariah 9:9. You know, Jesus did this thing, to fulfill that prophecy. Let me read it from verse 12. On the next day, much people there came to the feast, but they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees, and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna, Blessed is the king of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. That's exactly what Zechariah 9 said. And Jesus, when he found a young ass, he sat on it, you know, so that it might be fulfilled, that which was spoken by Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9. And he did these things to fulfill many things that Jesus did. He did them just so he would fulfill, you know, the prophecies that were given concerning him, even in the Old Testament. Praise the Lord. Now, in the book of the one I was trying to read from Matthew, I think it was earlier earlier in the chapter of 21, Matthew chapter 21. Let me read it from verse 1. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem, they come into Bethphage and this Mount of Olives. And Jesus said to his disciples, you know, go into the village over against you, and straight away you find an ass tied and a colt with her. You know, and Jesus did these things in order to fulfill that prophecy. Loose them and bring them. And if any man say unto you, say, well, the Lord had need of them. And he straight away we send them. And this, all of this was done that it might be fulfilled that which was spoken by the prophet Zechariah, saying, you know, tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting on an ass and a colt of a foal. So, you know, he did all these things to fulfill that prophecy in the book of Zechariah. What about Daniel chapter 2? Glory to God. Daniel chapter 2 verse 43. And also Daniel chapter 7, verses 13 to 14, talks about, and verse 27, and Christ shall reign over all kingdoms. Well, the kingdom of Christ will reign over all, actually. When Daniel was interpreting the dream, you know, of Nebuchadnezzar, talk about the head of gold and all these things in Daniel chapter 2. And he talks about, you know, all the various kingdoms that are coming. And how there will be a kingdom at the end that will smash the image. Well, let's read a little bit of it. Daniel chapter 2, verses 43 and 44. In the days of those kings, he said, you know, God will set up another kingdom that will never go away. That kingdom will be established forever. In fact, it's going to demolish all the previous kingdoms. You know, in the days of this king shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And that kingdom shall not be left to another people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these other kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Praise God. And also, you know, Daniel chapter 7, verses 13 to 14, talking about the Ancient of Days, you know, when he came and, you know, the Son of Man that took the kingdom, gave it to his people, and the kingdom flourished forever. Daniel chapter 7, I saw in the night visions, behold, one like the Son of Man came, the clouds of heaven, came to the Ancient of Days and brought him near him. And to him was given dominion and glory and kingdom, and all people and nations you serve him. And his dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall never, ever, you know, be taken away. Praise God. And verse 27 says of Daniel 7, the kingdom and dominion and the greatness and the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Well, did he not say in the book of Revelation chapter 11 and verse 15, after the seventh angel had sounded, he said, and the seventh angel sounded. Ha! Glory to God. And this is the finality of all things. When that seventh angel finally sounded, there was a great voice, in fact, great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. He fulfilled that, and we fulfill it to a T. Daniel chapter 9, verses 25 to 26, calls the Messiah, Christ, he calls him the priest. Well, in the book of all of the Gospels, there are too many to quote. The whole Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, talk about this Messiah, the Prince, that will come. Praise the Lord. in the book of Psalms 78, verses 1 and 2. The Messiah will teach with parables. I will open my mouth in parables. Well, did Jesus do that? In Matthew chapter 13, verses 34 to 35. After he began to do the parable of the sower, the disciples came to him and asked him, say, you know, why do you speak about these things? I mean, all these things in parables. And he quoted, you know, some of these things. He even quoted Isaiah as well. I will open my mouth in parables, but he also quoted Isaiah. How Isaiah had said that, you know, these people, their eyes will not see, their ears will not hear, their heart will not understand. And this was most of his, you know, most of his teachings were in parables, you know, to fulfill this verse in Psalm 78, verses 1 and 2. Let's read Psalm 78 real quickly. Psalm 78, this thing will open up here. Okay, Psalm 78, verses 1 and 2. And this prophecy was fulfilled in Christ with all the parables that he told. You know how he loved to speak him in parables. Praise God. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in parable, and I'll utter dark sayings of old. Well, Jesus fulfilled that in teaching with parables. Hallelujah. You know, and every other thing in the life of Jesus. We can go on and on, but I guess that's enough. I'm looking at the time here. All these prophecies, you know, the eyes of the people are darkened. They were fulfilled in the prophecy of Isaiah. And Jesus referred to it in Matthew chapter 13. You know, and every other thing to the letter, you know, things that were said about him, the parting of his garments. He being sold for 30 pieces of silver. I mean, I don't have time to go into so many. I want to wrap up the room here. But there's so many things, you know, that were said about the Christ that were fulfilled in Jesus. So the summary of today's lesson is that this Jesus that we are celebrating his birth today is not just some random person. You know, he was predetermined by God, many prophecies about him, and many of the things in his life. We can go on and on and on. You know, talk about, you know, you can see how his life fulfilled the things, you know, that were prophesied in the Old Testament. So today's lesson has been to show Old Testament prophecies about Christ. There are many more. Maybe someday I'll publish it, but I want to cut it off here. Prophecies about Christ from his birth to his reign. All in, even some of the things he did while he was in Galilee, in Nazareth, all these things, riding upon a horse, doing this and that, I mean, donkey and so forth. Many of these things, you know, even on to his death, you know, prophecies about him and so forth. Prophecy about him bruising the head of the serpent and so on and so forth. So today, as we celebrate, or join the world in celebrating the birth of Christ, you know, let's also do a reflection to see how that this same Jesus, you know, the people said, is this not the son of Joseph? No, he wasn't the son of Joseph, but that's what they thought. Is this not the son of Joseph, the carpenter? And this not his sisters and brothers with us? I mean, who gave him all this authority to do these things? Well, he had this authority from before the world began. Said, this commandment I've received of my father. And he did those things. They asked him, by what authority do you do these things? I said, well, I will also ask you one thing. If you can tell me, then I will tell you. The baptism of John, Where was it from? Was it of men or was it of God? Oh, Lord, give me that kind of wisdom. You know, and Jesus would answer their questions with a question, knowing that they won't be able to answer. So, and they said, they thought within themselves, well, if we say it was from God, then he will say, why then did you not believe him? And if we say it was from men, we fear the people because people hold John as a prophet. They will stone us if we say his message was from men. So they told Jesus, said, well, we cannot tell. And Jesus said, well, neither tell I you. Praise God. But his authority was not from man. He had the authority to fulfill these scriptures to a T. Before the world began, I come in the volume of the book, everything that's written about him in the volume of the book, to do thy will, to fulfill it. And he's fulfilling it. And today, as we are celebrating the birth of Christ, let's also remember his dying and his resurrection. You know, the birth would have no meaning if he did not conclude it with the death and the resurrection. It was when he was on the cross, not when he was born. It was when he was on the cross that he said, it is finished. It was not finished when he was born, but it was when he was on the cross, according to the book of John chapter 19 and verse 30, when he was on the cross, you know, they gave him vinegar and so forth, you know, and then he said, he said, look, it is finished. It is finished. And let me read it to you from verse 28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled. You know, Jesus, to the last minute, he's still thinking, well, there's still one scripture that needs to be fulfilled. You know, he wanted that scripture to be fulfilled. And he said, I thirst. And so they brought a vessel full of vinegar, you know, to him. And when he had tasted it, couldn't even eat it anyway. I mean, he couldn't even drink it anyway. He said, look, it is finished, because now it's over. You know, it's over. If it is finished, well, that's what we said. So that's why we are celebrating his birth, because his birth led to his death. You know, and his death led to his resurrection. That's how today you should celebrate. When you are thinking of his birth, which is a good thing, but think beyond that, because not only did he, was he born, he actually went on to the cross. And he told us, when he was living, to celebrate his death and resurrection. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Hallelujah. So, even though today is not the, today is not the, we are not celebrating the death and resurrection of Christ today, but as you celebrate his birth, think about this. There was a prophecy in the book of Psalms, Psalm 22. So people call it the Messianic Psalm. And I'm going to close with that. In the Messianic Psalm, in Psalm 22, the psalmist wrote about certain things which Jesus, you know, always the perfect fulfillment of the scriptures. You know, he would talk about it. And if you read, you know, many of these things, you know, that are written, you know, in the book of the Psalms, this chapter 22, it's all about Christ. Let's read one verse in verse 15, if I can find it. Let's read one verse. You know, it said, look, my strength is dried up as a potsherd, my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. You know, that's like, I am thirsty. I am thirsty. And this is what the Jesus was referring to there, so that that scripture will be fulfilled. Said, I thirst, I'm thirsty, my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. You know, and it was about the time that he was about to die. And so, because he said, I thirst, to fulfill that scripture, then they gave him something to drink. Well, let's leave it there. That's our lesson today on all the things that are written about the Christ that was fulfilled in Jesus. So as we celebrate his birth, let us remember one thing also. In the book of Acts chapter 1 and verse 11, you know, he promised us that he's coming again. This is something that people have forgotten, you know, just as surely as he was born this first time and everybody is saying he came. Well, yeah, this same Jesus, we are told, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner. It will happen, the second coming of the Christ. And that's what we must focus even more about at this time. In the early church, their mission was to demonstrate the resurrection of the Christ. Well, our mission now is to prove, not only by his resurrection and the miracles and everything that God will give us to do, to show that he is coming again. And we must, you know, tell ourselves, assure ourselves of that every day, and remember that he's coming again. You know, I will not leave you comfortless. He came in the Holy Spirit, and then he's coming again. Say, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And then when it's done, I'll come again. Praise God. Father, I thank you, Lord, today as we celebrate all over the world the birth of the Christ. Glory to God. Now we see that indeed Jesus fulfilled many of those prophecies that were in the Bible. So we are sure that this man was indeed the one. He was the one that was unified with the Father. He was the one, the seed of the woman that would bruise the head of the devil, and he did. He was the one that came riding upon a donkey into Jerusalem. He did. He was the one that would be born in Bethlehem as we celebrate today. Thou Bethlehem, the smallest city, yet out of thee will come forth a ruler. Ha! Governor among my people, whose growing forth have been of old. We thank you, Lord. Thank you for the work of salvation that you brought. The grace of God has appeared unto all of us, teaching us that it was the love of God that brought this salvation to us, that we may now deny ungodliness and worldly lusts and live righteous, sober, and godly lives while we wait for the Christ. Give us this empowerment through the Holy Spirit that our lives will be such. And we thank you for the joy and the peace that Christ brought into the world. May this season, the joy of this season be with everybody that is in this room. Christ in us, the hope of glory, the promise of salvation which he has now brought to us, the promise also of eternal life. I will lose none of them. Hallelujah. And everyone that the Father has given me, this is the commandment I have received of the Father, that all that he has given me, I should lose none of them, and I should give them eternal life. They should never perish, but I will raise them up at the last day. We give you, Lord, the glory and praise. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.